This is Insecticon Bob. He's doing very well indeed. That's because Insecticon Bob listens to TFYLP weekly. And Insecticon Bob loves Transformers, as does his missus. You can get TFYLP by downloading from iTunes today. Do not listen to TFYLP if instructed to do so by Chuck Norris. Do not place a listening device into the anus as choking may occur. Please contact a physician if an erection for TFYLP lasts longer than 4 hours.
In a cold, faraway world, a battle is raging between evil and good. From the stars that came here to Earth, caught in their struggle through the whole universe. Robotic warriors give it their all, fight in disguise to the victors. There's hope. Transformers.
This is Transformers for your listening pleasure with Guard Convoy, Insane Galvatron, Mirai Baby, Natsume Ryu, Sideburn 2, TFR Cool, and your host, Weirdos. Well, hello once again to all you people out there in listener land, and welcome to another installment of Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, a.k.a. TFYLP. This is episode number 35, recorded May 24th, 2012. With me tonight is Insane Galvatron.
Hello.
As well as Sideburn 2.
What's up?
And 40-Mint Nugget Convoy.
Hello, everybody.
40 McNugget Convoy.
I've only got two McNuggets.
Did you tell that story last week about the 40 McNuggets?
I'm not sure if I did, but might as well. It's worth it. Well, at BotCon, me, Proto Man, and John of TFW, I think he's on TFW. While everyone was at the meetup for TFW, we went to McDonald's instead, and all together bought 100 chicken nuggets. I got 40, Proto Man got 40, and John got 20, but he also got a Big Mac, so it balanced out. While they was making this, the people at McDonald's were laughing at us, looking at us like we were crazy. So we got back,
well,
and we
are.
Ate. Yeah, we are insane, and we ate them. Well, Josh Perez and Soul Fury of the boards watched us, and we got sick afterwards, but it was so worth it.
You felt like you turned into a giant McNugget yourself, huh?
Exactly.
And later that night, he passed a huge nugget.
Oh, that's nasty.
That's just downright disgusting.
Well, that's what happens when you eat McDonald's. It's your fault, not mine.
Oh, well, Mirai Baby is still in the process of moving, and TFR Cool could not be with us tonight. But we got four of us here. I think we can put together a good podcast. So
this is basically last week's show minus the only chick.
Yeah. Yeah. And quit
back. We got a sausage fest going on here.
Yeah. Sausage fest, no chicks. That sucks. But we are now available on iTunes. We finally got the feed up and running through the website, and it is now available. Just search for TFYLP or Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, or just Transformers. We should come up. You can also download the podcast via geekexistence.com or our Facebook page. We're putting links up on both places, so we should be easily accessible no matter how you get your podcast. Has anybody signed up for a DeviantArt account before?
Yes.
A long time ago.
Anybody use it?
I use it semi-regularly.
So, Guard Convoy, you want to tell us about yours?
I don't even remember much.
It's oh, wow. Years. Fail.
It's been years.
Yeah, I think I'm the same way. I think I may have signed up a long time ago and just never used it. I think even now it's been so long that if I go to DeviantArt, it doesn't even come up on like my page. It's just like, welcome guest, and I don't remember the login.
Hmm. Well, Cyburn 2, you do use yours regularly.
Yeah. It's iBloodstorm I, but what you're mainly going to find there is Transformers-related Minecraft skins. Which I guess fits the Transformers
That's
thing.
Relevant now. I mean, Minecraft just came out for the Xbox 360. So
except for you can't use them on the 360.
Oh,
it's the PS, or not the PS, but the PC version.
Well, it seems like I heard that they're getting ready to release some kind of update where you can do custom skins on the Xbox version.
Well, if they do, you can head over there and find some Transformers skins. I would venture to say I have the largest collection of Transformers Minecraft skins. That's mostly because I'm a nerd that way.
Well, I mean, I noticed a few of my friends had some DeviantArt accounts, and a lot of people referenced it, and I heard a lot about people talking about DeviantArt while we were at BotCon, and got me to thinking about it. So I went over there the other day, and I was just kind of perusing some of the things that our friends have on there. I know Natsumi Ryu has one, and Mirai Baby has one, and I was looking at some of their uploads. Mainly, it's artwork and photos of their costumes. And I always had this preconception that DeviantArt was just artwork, and I really didn't think about maybe photography. Well, since I love to do photos of Transformers, and I wanted another outlet other than just Facebook and posting them on TFW, I'm like, well, maybe DeviantArt might be a good outlet for it. So I signed up for it. My DeviantArt account is WeirdWolf75. You can check it out, and I've got a lot of high-res pictures up there of some Transformers I have and have owned in the past. I take primarily light box pictures, so if you're into infinite white and infinite black backgrounds on your toy picks, then you can check it out. Let me know what you think.
I think you need more hentai.
Yeah, yeah. I might throw a few more tentacles in coming down to the background, coming like the infinite black backgrounds. You know, just have some tentacles coming out of the darkness. Especially on like RC or something like that.
I still need to dig my tentacle out of the closet and put him in the lockbox behind an RC.
So your tentacle is gay?
No, it'll be behind RC.
You said he would be in the closet.
No, he's not coming out of the closet. He's just stored in the closet. But I need to put him in the lockbox behind. I'll probably wait until I can find Arachnid, because she seems like she'd be into the tentacle thing.
Yeah. Well, she likes spiders, you know. Who knows? She might like the...
Yeah, so have Arachnid posing with tentacle in the background. I need to take that picture.
Now it's time for Out My Wallet.
This is a segment where we talk about what hurt our wallets this week, whether it be a little bit or a lot. Kind of brag about what we've got this week. I guess we'll go first. Insane Galvatron, you want to?
Well, since last week, I mentioned when you were talking about your comics that you bagged and boarded, and I was like, hey, stop drawing attention to these because I'm watching some auctions. Well, it turns out I did win one of the auctions before the podcast went live, so you did not direct any extra attention to my auction.
Mentioned that in the last week's podcast.
Yes, and so I won the auction. It's for the entire U.S. run, all the the G.I. Joe, Headmasters, Universe, the entire thing. Cost me $290 for the entire lot, all graded, very fine and very fine plus. So
that's bad.
Yeah, I was happy to pay that much for it. To get a complete collection, whatever, trying to hunt them down one at a time. So I've got that to look forward to. It supposedly mailed out on Wednesday, so I'm still waiting on it to get here. Hoping to get here today or maybe tomorrow.
Well, I'm kind of waiting on a package myself too. So yeah, seeing as how nothing came today.
But even though I don't have those yet, they already hurt my wallet. So I figured I'd go ahead and mention them because I paid for them this week. The only other thing I got besides that was my box from Chi Mung Mung, the knockoffs. Yes, I know we talked about knockoffs last week, and yes, I'm weak. I like minty G1 goodness. So I got a Weird Wolf, my third gnaw. I mentioned having three gnaws, but the third gnaw was in that box. I also got the black G1 Optimus Prime, which looks pretty slick.
Has some sticker issues, though.
Yeah, the stickers on the front of the cab are wanting to peel off, but that's the cheap knockoff stickers for you. I'm trying to figure out what kind of glue would be best to glue those back on with. It won't ruin the paint if I ever need to replace the stickers later and have to remove them.
Or get repro labels.
Yeah, I'm wanting to look for a cheaper alternative than buying a whole new... Like, I think the G1 Office Prime labels are, $30 or something?
And he has special labels, too, doesn't he? Like purple and
Autobots. Well, he's got purple stripes on the trailers, but, everything else is just pretty stock on the
stickers. He's almost Motormaster colors.
Yeah, yeah. I was kind of wish, because some of those, they show up with the stickers on the trailer, just on the thing, you have to apply them yourself. I was kind of hoping that's the way they would come. because I was going to take the gray trailer from one of the knockoffs I had that I bought a few years ago, put the purple stickers on it, and then put it with the black cab, and it would be Motormaster. But they were already applied to the black trailer, so I can't get them off. But there was a the other thing in that box, the other knockoff I got was the blue dichlorine-colored Swoop, and it had the gold chrome beak, and it just looks all kinds of pretty. I really like it.
I always wanted that version of Swoop because that's the version that's portrayed in the cartoon. He's the only Dinobot that really has a blue chest, isn't he? Mm-hmm. The rest of them all have red, except for Grimlock. He's got gold, of course. But I really, really like that color scheme on him. It kind of sets him apart. But alas, the original toy came with a red chest.
Well, the Diclone had blue. That's where that color scheme came from. And I would hate to think what a Diclone Swoop would cost. So I was happy to pay $80 for this high-quality knockoff that is quite frankly indistinguishable from the real thing.
Is that all you got in that Ching Mung Mung?
Yeah, I think so. I just think I said those four items in there.
What about your Target thing that you can't find?
Yeah, well, I mentioned that last week because technically I had bought it last week. I bought a Cyberverse Breakdown, but I was in no hurry to open it because I had some other stuff going on. And so a couple days ago, I was actually going, hey, I'm going to open that Breakdown and check it out, and I can't find it. I don't know what I did with it.
He bought a new toy and lost it already.
Yeah, it's still in the Target bag. I haven't even
opened organization! It. Need it.
Hey, well, I have certain, you know, my house may look like a mess to the untrained eye, but I have areas where I put stuff. I know where just about everything is. It's usually when I can't find stuff is after there's been cleaning done, because then it gets moved and I don't know where it is.
I haven't touched it.
No, I know. I'm not saying you have. I'm just saying that I looked in all the areas where I normally put new toys when I bring them in the house, and it's not there. And I don't remember bringing it in the house, but it's also not in my car. So I don't know where it went.
Hmm. Good luck finding it.
Maybe I lost it on the way to the car from a Target. I'm going to drop it in the parking
lot. I would have thought you would have noticed that. But.
Well, I think that if you remember, that was the night we were leaving Target. I got a phone call. So maybe while I was talking on the phone, it slipped out of my hand and I didn't even notice because I was so busy talking on the phone.
Oh, yeah. But,
so who knows? But it was $5. It's a Cyberverse Legion. And
but it was Breakdown. It's the only version of Breakdown that's out so far.
I'll get the Voyager when it comes out.
And if you believe the panic, it's the Voyager's never coming out.
Well, yeah. You know, like I said, it's $5. I waste more than that on lunch. I'll just eat a bologna sandwich one day and then use that lunch money to buy another Breakdown. It's not a big deal.
Hmm. Guard Convoy, you want to tell us a little bit of what you got?
Well, since I have an anime convention next week, my spending has to go almost non-existent. But I did pick up, on topic, Wave 2 Bot Shots. I've got the Chase Bumblebee, the Brawl, and the Mirage. They had Ratchet, but I decided to wait to get Ratchet because most of the paint on them didn't look good. But they're Bot Shots, so they're nice. Now I've got 10 of them, so I still need to get more. I'm going to end up getting them all, but I love Bot Shots. But other than that, I didn't get anything else.
I like Bot Shots only whenever we can do Bot Shot shots with them.
Of course.
You missed that, didn't you?
Yes, I had to go home.
But he was getting his chicken nugget on.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That was when you were eating chicken nuggets, not after you went home.
Yeah, Saturday it was. It
y'all
was.
Did Bot Shots shots twice, but the second time I missed the ones that was Bot Shot sugar shots.
I only did it once.
No, there was only once. We did the Bot Shot sugar shots while everybody else was doing regular Bot Shot shots because we don't drink. So they happened at the same time, just in different rooms. It was all Saturday night.
Because Saturday night's all right.
All right. I just know chicken nuggets were worth it.
Yeah, I have to admit, that does sound pretty awesome.
Damn, I went around to McDonald's to get some chicken nuggets.
Well, I guess you implied that you got some off-topic things, so go ahead and spill your guts. What did you get?
Well, I saw Avengers for the second time, I think, last week. So I needed a Thanos toy, so I got the 2-pack Marvel Universe Thanos by itself off eBay for like $10. So that's my main purchase, and I've been having fun with him. Uh-huh. But that's it. That's all I got.
So if you put him in erotic poses on your desk, like your Transformers
were? No, not yet. But I did try to put him in a pose for a pelvic thrust earlier, and it turned out awesome. I should have took a photo of it.
When has a pelvic thrust photo ever not turned out awesome?
I've got a Galvatron pelvic thrust photo somewhere I have to show you sometime.
Oh, I gotta see amazing. That.
It was amazing.
I have a G1 Galvatron upskirt shot somewhere. Somebody had taken theirs apart to try to fix something, and they couldn't remember how it went, and they asked for pictures of you know, up in there to see how the thing was supposed to go together. And I felt really dirty after taking those pictures.
Mm-hmm. I think I posted this photo in that same thread. I remember that thread.
Okay.
I don't know how to react to that.
But yeah, that's all I got. Just Thanos and bot shots.
Thanos is awesome. I mean, he had a very brief appearance in the Avengers movie. For those who were...
Spoiler!
Yeah. Spoilers!
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Who cares? It's Thanos.
It's put it this way. If you're inclined to see the Avengers movie and you haven't yet...
You deserve to be spoiled.
You deserve to be spoiled. Exactly.
Exactly.
So, I mean, it's been out long enough, and you should have went and seen it, you sorry
guy. Casual moviegoer is not going to know who Thanos is anyways.
No. Heck, I didn't even know. I had to Google search him.
I
kind of
wish somebody would have told me Thanos was in it that way. When I saw the guy at the end, I would have known who it was.
Yeah.
Because I was like, who's that?
Yeah.
If I feel like this is important, I should know who that is, but I don't.
Yeah. But, that being said, we now know who Thanos is, so we feel more enlightened. Yes. So, Cyburn 2, you picked up toys or a toy this week?
I picked up one toy. So, my wallet didn't say ouch. It just kind of went, eh. Because all I got was Bot Shots Mirage. And so far, I have a complete set of Bot Shots.
How much did you pay for that Mirage?
$4.
You got gypped. I got it for free at BotCon.
Well, I wasn't at BotCon to get anything for free, so... But yeah, I had been trying to find them for a while.
You haven't even opened it?
Not for a while. But, yeah. So, Bot Shots Mirage. Rounding out my Bot Shots collection.
Do you and your brother play Bot Shots quite often?
No.
You just collect them, huh?
Yeah. I'm not interested in playing rock, paper, scissors with plastic toys, but I think they're cool little figures.
I'm surprised that they're so popular because, I mean, yeah, we had fun that night using them, but we kind of really didn't play the game the way it was supposed to be played, I don't think.
It was more about taking sugar shots and getting a sugar rush than it was actually playing the game.
Yeah. And we just didn't, I really don't see the point in the rock, paper, scissors. Now, if it had like an automatic change, like where they make contact and automatically flip that little chest piece around, it would be a lot cooler.
Or you get something random. Yeah, I would like it better. Random rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah.
That's what I expected when I heard about them. I was expecting them to flip around randomly. So when I got them and realized, hey, this one keeps coming up short.
You know, I would actually buy them if they were like that.
Yeah,
I think they would be cool.
I was like,
to play.
Man, this one's broken. It keeps coming up sword. And then that's when I realized, oh, wait, I'm supposed to turn it and choose before.
Yeah, that's kind of lame.
Fail.
Yeah. But, yeah, that's. I mean, bot shots are cool. They look cool. Even they're almost like, well, they're little chibi versions of Transformers. But the functionality of them needs to be a little bit better, in my opinion. But it's like, nice try, Hasbro. Hasbro. Nice try, Hasbro.
They're kind of like the Chrono Cues from way back when.
I see those.
You remember
cool.
those?
Yeah.
I love those. The little Optimus Prime. The Megatron.
You awesome. Had those, didn't you?
Yes. The Megatron was awesome because he turned into a gun and then rolled across the floor on his side.
On his side.
Yeah,
it's like flop.
Because the wheels were on the side because they're trying to make a car out of a gun. I mean, how else do you do that?
Through science.
Yes. Well, I mean, being that Legends are at what used to be the basic price point, you know, it's nice to have something cheap, and I find them quite endearing.
Well, I mean, it's sad, too, that the basic price point is now ultimately almost preschool in level. You know, I mean, to get a basic, you're paying what used to be deluxe prices, and I don't want to go all in the economy BS and everything, but... You know, it's sad that it's getting that way, and I'll kind of segue into my wallet this week. I mean, I only got two figures, but one of them I picked up was Transformers Prime Deluxe Knockout, and he is so cool, but I am not very impressed by his small stature at all. I mean...
Is that what she said?
Yeah, it's he's short, he's stubby. I mean, the head doesn't stick up quite past the shoulders.
Wow, these are all things I've never had a woman's
head. Have you guys, like, that's just like Ratchet. He's tiny. I mean, have you seen him compared to animated Ratchet from just a few years before?
Yeah. I've owned both toys. I still own Prime Ratchet. And I think he's way cool, but I'm just not real thrilled with the increased price point and the smaller toys.
I thought they were getting smaller so that they could stay at the price point.
Yeah, but they've gone up.
They're getting smaller so they can stay at $13-14, because if they just made them the same size, it'd be $15-16.
Yeah. Well, before they used to be $9-10, you know, and now
they'd be like 12, but they were always on sale for 10. Yeah. And then the sales went away, and they were always 12.
But I mean, you know, I just don't.
Days when deluxes were $7.77 at Walmart for the longest time during Universe 2.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
That was nice. But I mean, I just don't like the fact now that I'm paying essentially $13.50 US bucks for a figure that just 3 or 4 years ago would have cost me $7, $8, $9.
And you know what? People in the UK and Australia have absolutely no pity for us.
No, they don't.
Because they're getting, you know, kind of screwed over when it comes to Transformers pricing.
Well, something.
I mean, when you look at their pricing,
they don't even really get half the figures that we get. So,
and then when they do, they're twice as much. They're like $20, $25, $30 for a deluxe.
Well, and that's another thing, too. I mean, yeah, as a U.S. collector, we tend to get jaded with things. You know, we look at it from the perspective that, hey, you know, I feel like I'm getting ripped off, you know, paying this much, and I can't find X figure that I'm looking for. Yet, there's people like those fellow collectors in the UK, they have to get their things online, because half the time they can't even find it in their local stores. They just don't get released, or they're just inhibitively expensive. I'm about to choke here. But, you know, it's... Yeah. Yeah, I know that's what she said. let's not overdo that. but anyway...
Well, stop saying things that sound sexual.
A little hard, you know. Damn it!
It's okay. Sometimes things just come out when you don't want them to.
Well, for me, the prices don't really affect me too much because I'm so used to importing stuff from Japan. So prices don't bug me too much, but I can understand how the prices will bug someone who's used to paying $10 for a deluxe and now has to pay $13 for a deluxe. Mm. I just don't complain about it.
Do you get a discount at your workplace for like Transformers whenever they come out? You have to buy them full price.
Full price. Yeah, those Legends cost me $6 full price if I go to buy them. Wow. We get no discount whatsoever at my store.
What's the advantage of working there then?
The paycheck.
I can walk to work. I don't have to pay nothing for gas or anything. I can walk to work.
And he gets a paycheck.
Yeah. Well, if you don't get a discount on toys, I think it's not worth it. So
he earns a paycheck just so he can give it back to him for toys. So basically he works for toys.
Yes.
Pretty much.
Work for toys.
I buy toys when I'm working sometimes. That's how I bought Knockout. I was actually on the clock working. And I happened to be in Walmart when I was there. And I'm like, hey, I'm going to run by and check them out. They had Voyager Bulkhead there, and I just didn't have the cash on me to get him. I wanted to get him, but they had Voyager Bulkhead, one more Starscream Voyager, and two Knockouts. And two Hot Shots. And alas, no Vehicons. But...
Well, I checked the Walmart that I was near in the town I work, and I found two Hot Shots. Which means I just missed that entire case. So there was a Knockout and a Vehicon, and it went bye-bye. I went back by today and was looking to see if they restocked, because the pegs were kind of low, and they still hadn't. And I almost bought one of those Hot Shots, except I remembered that I've got that entire case on pre-order for Wave 4 Revision.
Yeah, that's a topic for later.
Yeah, Hotshot is one figure that I am definitely going to pass on right now. One, because I really don't care about the figure, and two, he's not in the show, and three, he is just essentially repaint and slight retool of Bumblebee, a toy that I already have. So I really don't see the point in getting Hotshot yet. It's, aside from the fact he almost has a Nightbeat-esque color scheme.
Well, even though I have Bumblebee, the Bumblebee I have is the first edition. This is the different mold Bumblebee.
Well, see, I've got the first edition mold and I've got the Prime RID mold.
Okay, see, I don't have the Prime RID, so I'm willing to get it just because it'll be a new mold for me. And I plan to, you know, shapeways a little headmaster for it and turn him into Nightbeat because he kind of looks like Nightbeat.
Yeah.
Spoilers, that mold is not very good.
Yeah, it's not that bad.
It'll be better when I put a new head on
it. It's not a bad mold. I mean, it's not the greatest mold, but I wish the head kind of rotated back a little bit farther and didn't have that big scoop thing behind it. But
just sick of Bumblebee, so anything related to Bumblebee, we all...
Oh, wow. I mean, it's like every single store you go into, it's like Bumblebee, 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 remember Bumblebee everywhere.
Remember back in 2006 when we were all like, you know who I used to like in G1? Bumblebee. We need Bumblebee to come back. And we actually wanted Bumblebee back then. And then we got Classics Bumblebee, and there was much rejoicing. And then the movie came out, and now we hate Bumblebee. And
then we all went straight to hell.
Yeah. If only you can go back and tell yourself, no, no you don't.
It wouldn't matter. Whatever other character they used instead of Bumblebee, we'd be just as sick of that character.
Yeah. It was always going to be Hotshot.
If you think about it, there has always been a yellow kid-friendly character. So.
Be a Cheetor or Hotshot.
Hotshot was blue in Cybertron.
And he's blue now.
Who was the yellow kid-friendly character in Cybertron?
Well, I guess because Cybertron and Energon breaks the mold because you had Ironhide and you had Hotshot. They were both blue.
I hated the Energon Ironhide mold. I mean, it's like SUV pickup truck with a giant robot head on the roof. It's like
I think we've expressed our hate for Energon enough.
It's like, hey, we don't need to design these toys so the head can hide away. Just push it down in between the shoulders.
And then don't get me started on Fatimus Prime.
That's actually not that bad of a figure.
The cab by itself is not bad. As a toy
to play with for a kid, I can see it being really cool.
I am.
But I didn't like the way it looked. I mean, because without the drones, he was too fat. He looked like he'd been through a McDonald's drive-thru too many times. With the drones, he looked like a Megazord, and I'm just not a Power Rangers fan, so I didn't like it either way.
Yeah,
I like Power Rangers.
I'm not saying he's the best, but I didn't hate him as much as others hated him.
Well, and just for a note for you listeners out there saying, oh, he's hating on fat people. I'm fat, so get over it. So I can talk about fat people can talk about other fat people, just like women can talk about other women.
Like, you can't make fun of rednecks unless you are one, and I are one.
No, you is one.
I is one?
You
Damn
is one.
Sure.
So, same with fat people. You can't make fun of fat people unless you are fat people.
Yes.
Okay.
Just a little side there. But my other figure I picked up for my Ouch My Wallet was Voyager-class Starscream. I found him at Toys R Us last weekend, and I just missed Bulkhead, apparently. Because they had one Starscream and one empty place where Bulkhead was, and then the rest of it was Primes and Megatrons. And I'm like, okay, I'll take Starscream. And he is all kinds of awesome. The only thing I don't like about it is probably what you alluded to in saying Galvatron was the fact that compared to RID Megatron, he is a little bit out of scale. I mean, he's like really tall, and he actually kind of towers over Megatron. But aside from that, he is like the prime Starscream figure everybody wants. And I can't gush about him enough. I mean, he's just gorgeous, super poseable, and he stands a whole lot better than all the other Starscreams I've had.
Well, he is a cool-looking toy, I'll admit that. But, I mean, I'm not going to get him because I have the first edition. The first edition, when you stand it next to that Voyager Megatron, it looks closer to the scale they are on the show. I really don't see the point in buying a bigger Starscream.
Other than that fact, he's awesome.
I'm not a scale Nazi, so I think Starscream should always be a Voyager. And so I'll be getting the Voyager.
Yeah. Did I just get called a Nazi?
Yeah.
Well, I'm a grammar
Nazi. Shikayu!
I'm a grammar Nazi, too, so make sure you use the correct term of viewer.
Now, if anyone is an alt mode scale Nazi, I'm punching you in the face because those people get on my nerves.
Alt mode scale will never work. You got to go for robot mode scale.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
I forgot. I had one more item I picked up that I forgot to mention.
What?
I just remembered it because I was browsing through my eBay. I picked up a... Because I had the 3-pack of the Auto Troopers from BotCon 2011, when they did animated. I ordered a 4th one off of eBay. I have a very specific reason for needing 4 Auto Troopers instead of just 3. And I bought one and it came this week.
What was that reason?
I'm not going to reveal that yet because it's going to be... They're going to be used in my diorama entry for BotCon next year.
He's going to have a diorama entry next year, and so am I.
The reason is you need to give me 2 of them.
I need. I want to kiss play Auto Trooper, but yeah,
you
that's
want,
kind of rare right now.
You, I told you, he's into the hentai.
Yeah, he is kind of one of those odd.
I'm going to an anime convention. What do you expect?
Do you have a lot of those little girly anime figures?
What?
Do you have a lot of those little girly anime figures that, you know, have like the short skirts and you can pose them and stuff?
Didn't I bring a Figma to BotCon?
I don't recall. I don't remember seeing it either.
I was too busy going gaga over all the G1s in the dealer room to notice anything else.
Y'all don't pay attention enough.
No.
Well, I was paying attention, but to the G1s. It's like, oh, look, it's a complete bludgeon. Where's my wallet? Take my money. Shut up and take my money. Give me the bludgeon.
You know what? I would want, like, I always wanted to get Kiss Player's Optimus because he's the best, you know, version of that Optimus Prime.
Yes, so. that and if I got one, I would keep it mint and sealed box simply for the reason on the front of the box it has Optimus Prime and a girl with her panties right in your face. I mean, it's like Optimus Prime and panties in the same picture.
The best box of Kiss Play is the Auto Trooper box because Crimzeek's coming out of the girl's
Crimzeek is coming out of her crotch. It's under her skirt. It's hilarious. That's the best box. If you're just for the shock and awe of the artwork, you got to go with the Auto Trooper box.
So what was Crimzeek doing under there?
Crimzeek! Well, I don't know if Crimzeek went up in there and was doing something or if there's something wrong with the girl. Maybe she has some kind of sexually transmitted disease and Crimzeek's come out.
I think it actually is explained in the fiction, but I have never read the fiction before, and I don't plan on it.
Maybe her vibrator is malfunctioning, and it's sparking.
That would explain the terrified look on her face.
Yeah!
You know, for kids.
So messed up.
But I would not buy that Prime, I mean, just simply because it may be the best-looking version of that mold, but it's like polishing a turd. Sure, it may be shiny and pretty, but it's still a turd.
Yeah,
it's Toyota Racing Development.
Yes, I always laugh every time I see one of those trucks.
Yeah, every time you see a Toyota Racing Development pickup truck, it says TRD on the back. Look, that truck's a turd.
Yeah. It's like, oh, Japan. What were you thinking?
Somebody did not think this name through. Well, let's move on to the news of the week. We had quite a few little news items this week that were kind of cool. We'll start with the first one. The Transformers Prime Cyberverse Ultra Magnus image. Cyburn 2, you want to talk about this one?
It's awesome. And that's mainly because it completely homages animated Magnus, and I love this thing. I hope it gets upscaled to Voyager.
Me too. That was really the only input I would have had on this figure, was I want the Voyager if they ever release it. But he stole my thunder.
I don't know why, but his head seems very Sentinel Prime-esque to me. Or at least Cyberverse Sentinel Prime. Does anybody get that vibe?
I don't know. Maybe more of like a Zeta Prime from...
Zeta Prime more than Sentinel.
Yeah,
It's just his face does not look Magnus enough to me. I mean, he's got the color scheme. He's kind of got the
tall
build.
Crest. I think what also does for me is those tall the ears. You know, they should be like blue and then white posts sticking up.
Yeah. Or silver.
Just blue all the way up.
Or silver. You know, a silver Sharpie would help that.
Yeah, but it didn't really change the design though. It needs to be like
they're sort of like solid like ears instead concrete, of the. You know?
But, I mean, he also, and the only other gripe, he looks very, very simple. I mean, overly simple for a Cyberverse Commander, in my opinion. I mean, after you've messed with Cyberverse Commander Ironhide and...
Which is another toy I wanted to Voyager.
Yeah, Cyberverse Ironhide and Bulkhead, you can see what Cyberverse commanders are capable of, and then you look at this and you're like, okay, I can see you just basically flip his truck front in half and spin him around, swing down his arms. Looks like maybe you might flip the top of the truck back a little bit and separate the legs and twist them, and it looks like the conversion for it.
Yeah, it's not a very complex, but, you know, I can forgive it for such a small toy. I mean, you got, it's just like the Cyberverse from Dark of the Moon. Some of them were complex, and you were surprised at what they could do with a commander, and the other ones were sort of straightforward. But they were all...
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I said, had I not messed with Commander Ironhide or Bulkhead, you know, I would be expecting a little bit less out of the Cyberverse Commander, kinda, or like even Legion, the Cyberverse.
Kind of like Legion.
Yeah, the Legions, you don't expect very much out of those.
Well, but Cliffjumper, though, was so awesome, he raised the bar so that every other Legion I open, I'm disappointed with.
Yeah, I was very disappointed with the Viacon. I've got a Legion-class Viacon just to say I have a Viacon. You know, but it's not really that impressive. I mean, it's essentially flip the head up, flip the back up, pull out the arms, separate the legs, there you go. And, you know, that's not very satisfying for a $5 figure. It's like I spent $5 to, you know, essentially a stand-up toy. That's what it is.
What are those, the RPMs they used
to have? Yeah, the RPMs. That's
the car,
essentially,
and on the bottom was the robot.
Yeah, but I mean, this Ultra Magnus looks cool to me, but I may pass on it.
Since we mentioned RPMs, as a kid, I would have loved those. Because I used to take my Hot Wheels, and I would do just that. I would stand them on their end and pretend they were robots. And I remember thinking, how cool would it be if it had a picture of the robot on the bottom? And now, you know, as an adult, they released those.
Mm. Yeah.
What's your thoughts on Ultra Magnus Guard Convoy?
I like the design as a whole. I see, like, the front end reminds me of Car Robots, God Magnus, or RID Ultra Magnus in design. But overall, I like the design. I'm not sure if I'll pick it up or not, because I don't really buy too much Cyberverse. But I would really love to see this design in the show, because I really do like that design.
Oh, I forgot another Cyberverse commander that exceeded expectations, which was Dreadwing.
And he can't find him.
He
I
was
really
very
want
nice.
That toy.
Very nice figure. But yeah, that's Ultra Magnus.
Will I pick it up? Probably not. But just like, you know, Ironhide's getting upscaled to Deluxe, I really hope this gets upscaled to a Voyager.
Yeah. Next up is additional images of MP-12 Lambor, or Sideswipe. We saw some more pictures this week. It looks like the Masterpiece size class is getting, smaller again. I expected him to be smaller than Prime, but not that much smaller.
It's pretty much going for the robot mode scale. I mean, in the cartoon, that's about how tall Sideswipe would have been next to Prime. Which I'm okay with that, because if they're going to do Masterpiece figures and they're going to expand it beyond just the large characters, I'm okay with the guys who are supposed to be smaller being smaller. However, I would like an accompanying smaller price tag. Because every pre-order I've seen for this guy, he's been like $130, $140. You know, and I'm thinking that's like the size and price MP10 would be without the trailer. So I would expect a robot that size.
Didn't MP01, wasn't he like $100?
Yeah, but you got to keep in mind, figures getting smaller, raising
what
costs.
I've heard is that that's just a rough guess. There's not an actual price point released yet. I'm thinking he's going to be about compared to Macross Jet, he's going to be about 8,000 yen, which will be about $120, so it's going to be about around $100.
Still, for as small as he is, I mean, he's basically alternator size from looking at that picture next to Prime. Maybe a little smaller than an alternator. He shouldn't be any more than $80 in my mind.
Well, if you compare it to other things, a similar scale released in Japan, he's going to be about $100. But that's the way I'm seeing it's going to be. That's the sweet spot I'm looking for, is about $100.
We'll see what he is when he goes up on HLJ.
You know, the thing is, though, I will be all over this toy when it's released, simply because it's a Lamborghini. I love Lamborghinis, and
See, I'm sort of wondering how they got away with that, because I think both Volkswagen and Lamborghini have stated before that they don't want their vehicles being war toys.
No.
Well, don't they get away with that by slightly altering the design to where it's not...
Well, that's not really slightly altered. I mean, that's a dead-on Lamborghini.
That looks straight on Countach.
I think it has to do with the... There's like a limitations on that. If a design has not been used in so many years, it becomes like just open. And I think that Countach design is old. Lamborghini has not made a Countach in so many years. They've not used that design that it may be that like even Hot Wheels could make one without a license. I could be wrong on that, but I was thinking if you go to an old enough model of car, you don't have to have a license.
What is the proper pronunciation of that? Is it Countach? Countach?
I've always said Countach. Countach? I've always said Countach.
I have no idea.
Yeah. For our intents and purposes, it's Countach. So if you don't like it, kiss our butt.
The Lambor.
Yeah. but aside from that, overall aesthetics of the figure, Cyburn 2, what's your thoughts on it?
I kind of agree. I've heard other people say that they wish that the top of the car would turn around on his back just because it might look a little better. But I think overall it looks really nice. I mean, it really, really looks like the G1 character.
No, that's the way G1 sideswaps, roof was on his back. It didn't flip around. That's only the classics version that it flipped around.
I know, but it's just the toy might, I don't know. It just kind of looks funky from the back. And I know that's how it's supposed to look, but just tiny little nitpicking.
The only thing I would have liked to see him do different regarding that backpack, the roof of the car, was to have it have like a couple of steps of transformation to turn into a jetpack. Like have some boosters like on the backside of that roof and just have it just kind of flip around.
Something tells me they're going to include that somehow. They've got to. I mean, every Masterpiece figure, it seems like they've put some kind of little tongue-in-cheek or some kind of little item in with the figure that alluded to something popular in the cartoon that character was familiar with. For example, like...
Well, there does appear to be a slot in the roof where something could attach.
Yeah.
But I don't want it as an extra accessory you have to clip on. I want that... I want you to do just make the
roof...
Well,
I mean, Masterpiece MP01 had the axe and the Megatron had the mace. Starscream had the little Dr. Arkaville. And who else... Was there? I'm missing one.
Grimlock had
the king crown and the cape.
In the U.S., but in Japan, he had the apron and the serving tray.
Apron. Why did I say cape? I don't know. But because
you wear your aprons backwards, it'll have capes.
Yeah. Maybe that's because whenever I worked at Publix in Florida, after we clocked out, we would flip our apron around and run through the parking lot like they were super capes. So, yeah. What was funnier is that my store manager would do the same thing, too. That was awesome. Guard Convoy, please tell us your thoughts on your
set. I never got specifically asked either.
I wanted to talk about MP13 for a minute because there's been so many. Because if you look at the page, there's a little section saying, I'm talking about what MP13 is going to be. Sort of. There's going to be revealed at a show soon, if people translated that correct. But a lot of people have been guessing it's Soundwave or Shockwave. I don't think so, because the actual silhouette is too similar to Sideswipe, so I'm thinking it's Sunstreaker. But a lot of people are saying it looks like Shockwave and Soundwave, but it's actually the robot facing away, because it's actually the back shot of the robot, so I'm thinking it's going to be something like Sunstreaker.
Well, it's not the exact same silhouette as the Sideswipe, because
it's close.
But I think it's too... I don't think it's close enough.
Look at the hips. Yeah, the hips are a little bit wide, yeah.
Yeah.
And just the shape of the lower legs. They're a little, from the knee down, they're longer and thinner than Sideswipe's.
But, I mean, it would be nice for them to alternate, Autobot Decepticon. Because the Decepticons are really lacking in the Masterpiece department.
You know, aside from the shoulder cannon, I'm kind of along with the Soundwave theory.
Yeah, I just don't see Soundwave from it. I just don't.
I don't know. Anybody else have any thoughts on MP12 before?
I do not want MP12 to be repainted to Sunstreaker.
No.
That will piss me off.
That would be too lazy.
I mean, they got away with it in Classics because they had the alternate transformations. But to me, if you're going to do the Masterpieces and you're going to be this slavish to the G1 designs updated, which I love, by the way, it's what I've always wanted. I wanted this more than Classics. Sunstreaker has to be a different mold. Same alt mode, but he has to be a whole new mold with the correct transformation.
There's no way Takara Tomy is going to do an alternate transformation to make that into Sunstreaker. Sunstreaker is on record as probably the earliest of all time transforming robot toy. They're not going to do a disservice to that achievement by making him an alternate transformation. There's no way.
Yeah. What was it, BotCon 2010, whenever the creator of the first Transformer mold, or the first Transformer design, his name escapes me at the moment. I even have his autograph on my Perceptor. But, yeah, he was there, and he did confirm that Sunstreaker was the first mold that it was designed that actually eventually became a Transformer mold. And I agree with you. If they gave Sunstreaker the repaint treatment, that would be a tremendous disservice to that character and to the historic significance of Sunstreaker himself.
Especially since they just recently went on, I'm pretty sure if I recall correctly, they just recently went on record saying that they're going to pay a lot more attention to scale and accuracy in the Masterpiece line.
Because MP10 was a reset for the line. Every new Masterpiece from here on out is going to be scaled with MP10. That's what they went on record saying.
I'm going to be collecting the entire Masterpiece line from here on out.
As long as it comes to America, I'm not paying the import prices.
I still haven't bought that Starscream, but I want to so badly.
I have Sunstorm on pre-order with BBTS, simply for the reason that you know he's not going to be released here in the U.S. He's an exclusive in Japan. And I have a soft spot for orange Transformers as well. You know, like I've mentioned in previous podcasts, I believe Geek Existence Transformers, I said more than once that I love translucent plastic, translucent blue, and orange on my Transformers. I don't know why, and I like yellow. Hence, I guess, why I like Weird Wolf. But, but yeah, if they release Sunstorm over here, I would be shocked. But I sincerely doubt that. That's why I went ahead and pre-ordered.
Are we going to get all the Masterpiece figures in the U.S., though? See, I'd like to hold out on Lambor and Starscream.
I'm
kind of
hoping Starscream's going to get released over here.
I would think so. I don't know. Skywarp shelf worn pretty bad at Walmart.
I'm so used to importing stuff, I'll probably end up importing MP11 whenever I get around to it, and I'll probably get Lambor as he comes out, because I just love the way Takara Tomy does the Masterpiece.
I think Hasbro's probably going to do what, you know, they are releasing MP10 over here in the U.S., and I think how well he does is going to gauge on whether or not we get a Starscream.
Yeah.
And eventually a Lambor. If he does poorly, then I really don't see us getting.
See, that's where my dilemma comes in, because MP10 is so much. The U.S. release is going to be less than half what the Takara release was. I would have gladly waited to save the money. The differences aren't enough to justify the extra money for the Takara one. But I didn't know if they were going to release it, so I bought the Takara one. And I don't want to get caught in that. Well, I'll wait for the U.S. release to save money. But then if the mold never gets released in the U.S., then the Takara one has gone up. And then it's going to cost me even more. So.
That's why I don't feel bad about getting the Sunstorm version of it, because one, it's going to be a rarer version of it. Plus, it's the mold. It's the new mold. So I don't feel as bad getting it. If I don't get Starscream, fine. I still have the mold, but I'll feel content holding out, hoping that there is a U.S. release of Starscream. And for that matter, Thundercracker and Skywarp.
Yeah.
Actually, you know, since Starscream was released over here and Skywarp was released over here, I would like to see the first recolor that we first version of the MP 11 that we get over here is Thundercracker, because that just seems like it would be fair. We get Thundercracker and then maybe make Thundercracker. Say a Toys R Us exclusive and Starscream a Walmart exclusive.
And I don't think Walmart is a big fan of the... Because, I mean, if you look at it so far, it seems every big exclusive is always a Toys R Us exclusive. And I think after the MP, you know, or Masterpiece Skywarp, I don't see Walmart stocking the shelves with Masterpiece figures.
Yeah.
Well, they've got the Starscream, and it's sold well. I don't think they moved too many of those to clearance. But Skywarp was the one that hung around. So who knows?
What happened?
Maybe for a Starscream release they may take it, because like, well, yeah, last time that one sold good. but they may not take a Thundercracker or a Skywarp because they're like, oh, that last one we took, just give a Starscream.
That Skywarp I have, I gave $20 for it. So that was on clearance at Walmart.
The main thing that had problems with Skywarp was they had that DVD Prime that didn't do well, so they did Starscream at Walmart. They didn't order as many, and Starscream sold gangbusters. I was never able to find one. He sold so well that Aaron Archer couldn't find one in stores. He had to order his online. So when they was doing Skywarp, Walmart ordered a whole ton of them, but people waited for them to go on clearance, and it did not sell well. And then now we get Toys R Us.
Yeah, I bought that Skywarp for, what was it, $60 when it first came out?
I did too.
It wasn't 2 weeks later that it was marked down to $20, and I was like, oh, man.
It wasn't that. I mean, it took a little longer than that for him to go down to $20 around here. Whenever he first came out, he was like 60, and I'm like, I just don't have the money to plop down 60 on it right now.
And it was a couple, 3 months later, he dropped 30.
Yeah, and even then, I'm like, well, I'll get it the next time I'm in. And then it wasn't long after that he dropped down to 20. And I actually was at work whenever I bought him as well. And I happened to be able to drop by.
It'd be nice to get paid to buy Transformers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't
unofficially, I wasn't paid to buy the Transformer. But
see, I didn't buy him right when he came out. I bought him towards the middle of his run. So it was pretty much right before they price dropped him.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, man. I should have waited just a few more weeks.
Or at least kept your receipt.
Yeah.
Before we move on, I think it's important to mention our friends at CapturedPrey.com. Captured Prey is your source for great toys, great prices, and great service.
Yeah, they specialize in import Transformers figures from Japan and Asia. They also carry an insane selection of third-party figures, as well as convention exclusives and vintage figures when possible.
For example, right now you can get new arrivals such as the Terracon Cliff Jumper and the BTS Toys Workaholics Yin and Yang.
Make sure to check out their pre-orders as well, with popular items like the Million Publishing exclusive Artfire and Make Toys Green Giant gift set.
Ho, ho, ho. Green Giant!
Captured Prey is also the only U.S. seller offering Toy World's amazing Hegemon figure, so head on over and have a look at all the cool stuff. CapturedPrey.com. All right, we're back from our intermission, and we're continuing news discussion this week. Fall of Cybertron, the Dinobot Unleashed trailer that just came out here in the last couple days. Guard Convoy, your heretic thoughts on this?
Well, me personally, I'm not too much of a fan of the Dinobots. Like, my favorite Grimlock is the War Within Dreamwave Grimlock because he's not a Dinobot. He's an efficient military commander, and that's my favorite use of Grimlock. And according to Matt Teeger, he said he's going to be similar to that, but still have the pointless dinosaur robot mode. I know, I'm a Beast Wars fan, and I sound weird complaining about beast modes on these Dinobots, but just the Dinobots just get on my nerves these days.
He's a space T-Rex, and it's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? As a kid, I loved dinosaurs. And as a kid, I loved robots. And then I discovered Transformers, and I love Transformers. So you take all three of those and mix it together, and it was the most awesome thing ever.
Ever, yeah.
No one cares about what you want. We've established this.
No, that was last week. Nobody cared. But Dwayne Johnson called, and guess what?
Care.
He cares. No, Dwayne Johnson cares. That's all that matters to me.
Him go and Chuck eat Norris. 40 McNuggets or something.
Chuck Norris cares, too.
Well, I have to say that I care. I like the Dinobots because there's not many boys out there, especially in the 90s, that didn't like dinosaurs. And so dinosaurs and robots, like Greg said, they just make sense to come together.
You want to know why dinosaur robots are so awesome? Because they were created when Chuck Norris ate nails and then crapped them out. Because everything Chuck Norris does is awesome.
So, and I mean, I'm excited to see that they saved the Dinobots after the apparent Hasbro
that news
going
story
to...
Was, that news story is such garbage. It is so much garbage.
Yeah, I don't know.
Why is it garbage? All
of
it.
Because they weren't actually... The Dinobots were not in any danger of dying. Alf. They weren't going to be gone if it hadn't been for High Moon.
I mean, I kind of buy it in a way. Look how Hasbro totally ignores Beast Wars anymore. I think they're just growing away from animal Transformers. I'm really surprised we have Insecticons and Transformers Prime.
Well, the thing is, yeah, they may be going away from animal Transformers, but the animal Transformers with the G1 aesthetic, they obviously look like robotic animals, whereas the Beast Wars animals actually look like animals.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I could see them kind of shying away from the realistic animals, but I really wish they wouldn't go away.
Look
how
many female spiders we've had, and you had Black Arachnia and Animated. And
yeah, well, we've got Arachnid, but she has a vehicle alt mode, too.
Yeah, you got to think back to when, I mean, usually game development takes, what, 2 years? And you got to think, back then, that was around the same time Dark of the Moon was being hammered out. Maybe a little more further along than Fall of Cybertron was, but, you know, at the same time you had, you know, Matt Teige and High Moon making Fall of Cybertron, you had Michael Bay very adamantly against the Dinobots on the other side influencing Hasbro. So I can kind of buy Hasbro being of the persuasion that Dinobots have no place in Transformers at the time.
It's not that they was getting rid of the Dinobots. It was they wanted Matt Teige to make it make sense. They had no problem with having the Dinobots in. It's just you had to come up with a way that would make sense for them to be on Cybertron. That's why I'm still against Space T-Rex. I'd rather Grimlock just had a tank mode, give Swoop some generic flying mode.
Didn't they explain how that's going to be and how it's going to be revealed in the game, how they get the dinosaur mode?
It is explained.
Yes, it's because of Shockwave. But I still don't like that reason. I'm just making him T-Rex just because he's Grimlock, leader of the Dinobots. Grimlock an interesting character.
The Dinobots and Shockwave, they do have a history. I mean, if you go back to the original Marvel comics,
Marvel G1.
So I kind of like that tie-in. I really
just like them as dinosaurs. So if they can just come up with just any plausible in-story reason to make them dinosaurs, I'll accept it. Yeah. Doesn't even have to be a good explanation, as long as it's plausible within the story.
Yeah. Well, and I think they've come up with a good one for Fall of Cybertron. I mean, they're still on Cybertron. They haven't come to Earth yet. Yet they still have dinosaur alt modes, and I'm buying it. I mean, that's me personally. Cyburn, you were getting ready to say something.
I was just going to say that, you know, to most fans, you know, Grimlock is a dinosaur, and most fans don't know Grimlock as the military strategist tank from the, to most people, obscure War Within comics. So I think they had to work Grimlock in as a dinosaur or not work Grimlock in at all. So that's why they jump through hoops to give him this backstory.
Well, in the DS War for Cybertron game, Grimlock was a tank. I'm just saying a tank, something like a tank would have worked better, story-wise, but I just got to put up with fans going, Dinobots are the best thing ever.
I don't know why I'm getting notifications here all of a sudden. But anyway, yeah, I mean, I can see both sides of the fence, but me personally, I'm really excited for the Dinobots in Fall of Cybertron. I think, actually, it makes me interested in Fall of Cybertron. While War of Cybertron was really awesome, is very arguably the best Transformers game ever to date.
I would still argue for the Armada games better slightly, but that's just me.
Yeah, well, up until War for Cybertron, I would agree that the Armada game was pretty awesome. Matter of fact, whenever I first started out TransformersHomage.com, I was one of the first people to actually get my hands on a demo copy of the original PlayStation 2 version of that game, and we helped launch it. I know a few of the websites back then, TransFandom and TFW 2005. I believe I believe that Allspark might have been in on it too, in Sabertron.com. We all had something to do with promotion of that game. And I was so excited to play the demo. Matter of fact, you borrowed the demo for a brief while from me, didn't you?
I never did buy that game, but I would, if my PlayStation 2 wasn't dead, I would probably try to track down a copy of that game just to play it again.
Mm-hmm.
Like the full game.
It was really awesome. I mean, just to be able to play against fight against Unicron in the end, even though he doesn't transform.
The Tidal Wave mission is the best thing of that game.
You know, even to date, the fight against Omega Supreme on Fall, or I keep wanting to call it Fall of Cybertron, for War of Cybertron, was pretty awesome. I still haven't gotten to Trypticon yet on
Trypticon was... I played it through on the hardest difficulty. I played it... I beat it the day it came out. Played it through on the hardest difficulty. Trypticon... Well, I didn't beat it the day it came out. I beat it the day after. I had played... I was up at 2 o'clock in the morning trying to beat Trypticon, and Trypticon kept killing me. I was so frustrated, I finally, like, screw this, I'm going to bed.
Try fighting Tidal Wave. That is a hard mission. That is a fun mission.
I only had an Xbox, so I never got to play it.
Yeah, I have to agree. The Tidal Wave mission is probably one of the most impressive missions and boss fights ever in video games, in my opinion. I loved it. Absolutely, I loved it. But it's, you know, I like I said, I haven't faced Trypticon yet, but Omega Supreme was pretty awesome as well in War for Cybertron. I'm just really excited to see Fall of Cybertron because of the Dinobots, and they're really drawing me into the game. I mean, War for Cybertron was awesome in its own right, but I wasn't quite sure I wanted another Transformer game unless they did something really good with it. But I think going with the Dinobots was a great, and adding the combiners like Bruticus, that was a great step, and I hope they keep going. The only thing is I hope if they release another game after this, which I think they will, hope they come to Earth finally. Because I mean, while the War on Cybertron is awesome, aren't they supposed to be finishing it up in Fall of Cybertron?
They're leaving Earth at the beginning because they're leaving Earth, or well, not leaving Earth. They're leaving Cybertron at the beginning of the game, according to the Game Informer magazine, and then it flashes back to like a couple days before they're leaving.
Yeah, the whole game is a flashback, pretty much.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm really hoping that the next game is on Earth.
Well, isn't it supposed to be in universe with the Transformers Prime show?
Yeah, it's supposed to be in the aligned continuity.
And
even though I don't buy
Prime
that,
it's the aligned continuity, but there are different stories and there's different things about it, but they all share the same base point.
Kind of like the G1 cartoon and the G1 comic. They're same continuity, but they're different.
And those two books also are supposed to be in the continuity.
Well, but I'm just saying that with it being the same continuity, though. Even if it's different stories, they could do a Transformers Prime type video game that would be technically a sequel for, you know, War of Cybertron, Fall of Cybertron.
Yeah, and,
but it just
wouldn't
follow the story of the cartoon, but have all the same character designs and voices. And...
Mm-hmm. I mean, it was kind of implied at this beginning of Transformers Prime that they had been there for a long time and that they were now in hiding after possibly some events that happened on Earth already.
So that could be the game.
So yeah, very well could happen.
But then you remember that Starscream got surprised about Dark Energon, and in War for Cybertron, they all knew about Dark Energon.
Yeah.
And
Starscream, you gotta kind of overlook that.
Yeah. So that's where the quote unquote aligned continuity comes into play. It's not a direct sequel or a continuation of stories. Several stories in the same universe, quote unquote.
Yeah. Same elements more than. Yes. They're all the same story.
Right.
But yeah, it's very plausible for them to be able to do something with them coming to Earth and still not overriding Transformers Prime.
Yeah. And saying Galvatron, you have something you want to talk about in our next little segment here?
Yeah, the new color images of the upcoming Takara Transformers Prime Armors Micron capsule figures. We had seen just pictures of the boxes when they went up for pre-order. It looked like you had one that looked like Optimus Prime, one like a Bumblebee, and there was like a Gecko and a Snake. Well, now we have color pictures of those, so we're going to see what the Deckos are going to look like. Still, the Prime and the Bumblebee, I'm not real keen on the concept of having the large characters that turn into weapons. But I'm really excited about the Gecko and the Snake. And, you know, I like the, you know, to see them in colors now. So I get, looks like you can get them in black or pink. So I can give
it's
RC
kind of a magenta, yeah.
Well, it looks pink on my screen here, but, you know.
But, yeah.
Give those to RC.
I like the Gecko and the Snake. I mean, it's, I wish you had a link on those for me.
I emailed it to you.
Oh, you did?
I agree. Yes.
I like There's the notification you got a minute ago. It was me emailing you.
I like this sort of olive and lime Snake and Gecko. But, yeah, the Optimus and Bumblebee one, it just doesn't make sense for you know, them to be Microns.
I want to say I have those Microns on pre-order. I can't remember. It's been so long. I'd have to go check. But I do want those, that Gecko and the Snake, because those are going to be awesome.
Well, I have them on pre-order at BBTS, and it says that they're supposed to, you know, be in May. And we're almost at the end of May, and they're still not in my pile of loot yet.
How much are they a piece? Like $4?
I don't think they're selling these individually. They're by the box
of
10.
Yeah, it's a pile of 4.
Oh.
It's a box of 10.
So it's like 40 bucks, 10? Probably.
Yeah, it's a box of 10. I don't remember exactly what the price was. I have to look it up here real quick on BBTS.
I mean, the Prime and the Bumblebee, I mean, they look good, but I'm with Greg. I don't like the main characters that are
the only time it makes sense is if it was somebody who turned into a gun originally, like Megatron or Shockwave. Or maybe Six Shot or Galvatron. But other than that, it doesn't make any sense for the larger characters to be made into Target Masters.
Well, that's like the next wave after this has like Bulkhead turning into his fist.
That is amazing. That is fantastic.
Yeah, I have that on pre-order as well.
He's just a giant fist. So great.
So what does he do? Just fold in half and he's...
I guess so. There only needs to be one hand transformer, and that's already Megatron.
Okay, so yes, the Transformers Prime Orange Micron box of 10 pieces is $29.99, so they're like $3 each. But you have to buy a box of 10.
Are they blind packed?
I'm assuming. I don't know how the case ratios are going to go on those. That we have no information other than we've now seen them in color.
I want to say TF Source is offering them as a set of 4. Because I think I pre-ordered them on there, and it's a set of 4. I just remember.
But now that we've seen the color images, you know, who knows how that's going to work out.
Right.
Because, you know, you get a case of 4, are you going to get the magenta ones? Are you going to get the black ones?
I'd take either one of them. I'm fine with both.
I want all the colors. I want my Snake in 2 colors. Just so I can put them on Starscream and take more pictures.
As a side note, I just saw a tweet from TFCon in Toronto. The deadline for advertising the TFCon 2012 program guide is June 20th. So if you're looking to advertise in the program guide for TFCon, you need to contact them. And they have a link on Twitter and I'm sure on the TFCon.com webpage or .ca webpage. So check that out. Our next topic of discussion is the Asian market exclusive Generations figures. Now, this one here I am really excited for, especially for a few of the figures that really catches my attention. Namely, the Protectobot Hotspot, which is a slight retool and a recolor of Reveal the Shield Grapple. I'll briefly list all the figures here, and then we'll discuss them. In the Legends class, they have revealed Hoist to be a Reveal the Shield Trail Cutter repaint with a new accessory. Motor Breath, a.k.a. Motor Master, is a Reveal the Shield Optimus Prime repaint with a new accessory. And Thundercracker, a Reveal the Shield Starscream repaint. And Blue Streak, a Reveal the Shield Prowl repaint with accessory. In the Deluxe class, we're going to have Autobot Springer, which is a Hunt for the Decepticons Tomahawk remold and repaint. Swerve, a Generations Cup repaint and remold. Cliff Jumper is a Transformers Prime first edition Cliff Jumper remold. And Wheelie, this one is interesting, Wheelie is a Reveal the Shield Jazz remold and recolor. For the Scout-sized, we have Sandstorm, a Revenge of the Fallen Dune Runner repaint. Dead End, a Revenge of the Fallen Breakdown repaint. Decepticon Brawl, a Hunt for Decepticons Breacher repaint. Laserbeak, a Revenge of the Fallen Skystalker repaint. And finally, in the Voyager class, we have Power Glide, Hunt for Decepticons Highbrow repaint. Protectobot Hotspot, a Universe 2.0 Inferno repaint and remold. Brawn, a Transformers Prime First Edition Bulkhead repaint and remold. And finally, G2 Megatron, Revenge of the Fallen Bludgeon repaint and remold. So, thoughts and reactions, Guard Convoy?
Out of all these, I'm not, like, the Legends are nice. I'm probably not going to pick them up. Neither are the Scouts. Even though Brawl, color-wise, looks good, but I hate that mold. I've gone on record of hating that mold, and I don't feel like explaining why, because it's beating a dead horse by now.
Well, maybe the listeners aren't familiar with your reasoning.
It would take 3 hours to explain why I hate this mold.
It's Breacher.
It's Breacher. He's awesome.
It's a horrible toy.
It's awesome.
Pick him up. I want to throw him
in the wall. What the hell is wrong with you, man? That is one of the most awesome.
It's the only Transformer toy I own that I hate. The only one.
What you may now send that one to me, as long as you haven't damaged it in any way.
I want to throw it at a wall or blow it up or something.
Please send it to me because I love that toy.
Yeah, but I have no complaints. I was quite impressed with the amount of engineering in a Scout class figure.
It's garbage.
I never got it.
I love it.
Well, to get back on topic, of the deluxes, I'm probably going to try to get at least all of them because Springer, I love that base mold. I'm not too fond of it as Springer. I don't see it. I'm going to wait till we get better pictures, but since I love that mold, I'm probably going to get it. Swerve is the the mini bot redone out of cup, so that's going
to
be neat.
The only thing I don't, I'll get to that later, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's all right. Cliff Jumper, love that mold. I'm probably going to get it because I just love that mold. And then Wheelie is so weird that it works for me, and I'm probably going to get him.
Looks like he comes with the slingshot.
Yeah, it's looking
yes. That's awesome.
That thing is amazing.
And of the Voyagers, I might get Hotspot. Even though I love that mold, I'm not getting Power Dive. I'm getting Megatron. Out of all these, Megatron's my favorite. Even though it is the Bludgeon mold, and it's probably going to look weird with a Megatron-style head, I'm still loving it, and I want it. It reminds me of Alternative Megatron in a way.
Alternative Megatron crossed with Armada Megatron is what I'm seeing with it.
And Brawn, I'm sorry, I don't have that mold, but that thing is too big for Brawn, and the head's going to look weird on it.
It might have looked okay if the head had been bigger.
Yeah.
It's just with the head the size they have, it makes the body look even more largely disproportionate.
Yeah, he looks like he has little man or little head syndrome.
Yeah, if he had a larger head, it would make the body look less large, and it might have been better.
Brawn is a beefcake. That's simple as that. He's a beefcake.
Yeah, the only reason I want that particular mold is because it's the first edition bulkhead mold,
and it is an awesome mold. Yes. I have first edition bulkhead, which is why I will pass on Brawn. For me, the first thing I noticed was, hey, it's Blue Streak, not Silver Streak.
Yeah, they recently got the trademark back with around 2010 when they did that Speed Star one.
Yeah, so I noticed that, and that, like, I was like, oh, they got the right name now. So now they need to go back and re-release every Silver Streak toy and rename it Blue Streak.
I would be happy with that.
The other one, the absolute must-buy for me, Motor Breath. Apparently Motor Master has a new name. I guess they couldn't trademark Motor Master, so he's Motor Breath. It's kind of strange, but I can live with it. But that's an awesome mold. I love Motor Master. I buy pretty much any tractor, trailer, transformer I can get my hands on, so I want that.
This mold, I'm holding it in my hand right now.
Yes, it's
this
awesome
mold
for Legend.
As Motor Master.
Yes, that's awesome. I want it.
Yes.
I don't think it has. We don't see any robot mode pictures, do we? We just see the back of the card.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if they put a new head on it.
I think they are. From what I heard, the original report, they are.
Well, it looks like there's a gun stuck in the top of his head. That,
well, it just says reveal the shield Optimus Prime repaint with new accessory.
And there's well, there's a gun stuck in the top of the head. I don't think there's a place on the mold to plug a gun. I think that's a
sword.
Is there?
That looks like a sword to
no,
me.
No, there's no hole. We're looking at the original mold. There's no hole in the top to plug anything in. So that sword or whatever it is plugged in truck mode. So that head has to be remolded to allow for that.
Yeah.
Cliff Jumper, I think the G1 style head looks better on that mold than I expected. But yeah. I already have the first edition Cliff Jumper mold. I have the Arms Micron Terracon Cliff Jumper, which is purple. And then I'm also going to try to get the SDCC Zombie Cliff Jumper in the correct colors if it doesn't sell out too quickly. So I've had enough of that mold. I'm not going to buy another one. It's a great mold, but three copies is enough. And otherwise, other than the curiosity of that laser beak, but again, we're talking about import to car prices. If I could buy that in the store, I would get it. But having to import it at import prices, I don't want it that bad. So I may be picking up one or two of these. I want that the motor breath, definitely.
Cyburn, what about your thoughts on them?
Most of them I'll probably pass on because they're going to be, importing them is going to be a little expensive. But I would really... Wheelies just... I find it hilariously awesome, and I never thought that one day I would say that a wheelie toy is amazing, but that thing is, and that it comes with the slingshot. It's just, I don't know, that toy tickles me. It's hilariously awesome. I like Swerve because that red works well on that mold. It looks really nice in vehicle mode. But other than that, most of them are pass, except for maybe Megatron. Like I said, I'm getting sort of like an alternative Megatron crossed with Armada Megatron, and I think it just looks awesome.
Me, personally, there's a few of these that I definitely want to get. I want to get Motor Breath, I want to get the Thundercracker, and the Blue Streak. Also in the deluxe class, Wheelie is a must. I have to have that. I would want Swerve, but simply because he doesn't have enough white on him, in my opinion, to be an homage to Swerve. I know he's got the white on the knees, from what it looks like in the picture, but he needs a little bit more white on him. So he's a pass. I don't want any of the Scout class figures, and then Hotspot and Brawn are the two musts on that size. Laserbeak. I'm curious on. I mean, I like that mold. I've owned that mold before, but I'm curious as to what it would look like in those colors.
And Laserbeak would be a buy it for its vehicle mode.
Yeah, and he looks like a Cybertronian version. Like,
yeah, I don't have many places to set a jet and vehicle mode. I know it's not a super huge figure, but still, it would.
Well, there is a fan mode out there of a bird-like mode for that mold.
Really?
You know, yeah, when Skystalker was out, people were transforming it that way just because, like, hey, it kind of looks like a bird. It had to do with, like, leaving the wings and, like, the arms transformed into the wings. And you just kind of fold those over, and then, like, the nose of the jet, you just kind of fold it over to make the head. And then the feet are very bird-like. You can even grip them around stuff because they were spring-loaded. So, I mean, a lot of people were, like, posing it as Laserbeak, like, on Soundwave's arm and stuff anyway.
Hmm.
Yeah. So, with the fan mode, it could work because he goes from his Cybertronian jet like he had in, was there a G1 episode we got to see him, Cybertronian?
Yeah, the very first episode, yeah. More Meets the Eye.
Yes, part and one. So that the jet mode kind of looks like that. And then he has a makeshift bird mode. So it's just the import prices are the only reason I'm not getting it.
Yeah. I mean, you know what, Weirdwolf? Swerve appears to have a lot of white in his chest and his abdomen area. And, you know, the sort of false hood that Cup has on him also appears to be white.
Yeah. That's my chair, by the way. If you hear that noise, it's my chair. I'm not farting. But he's still a pass on me. And, you know, now that you mention it, that Laserbeak may be a purchase. Power Dive, the, what was it, the
Highbrow
repaint and remold. If he was an homage to somebody that is more recognizable, I would probably pick it up. But as it is, he's a pass. The only now, if price became an issue with these, the legends, I could see those maybe $10 or $15 imported. And that's not that big a deal. Now, Hotspot may go $50-$60. I would pay that for him, and maybe that for Braun. But if it got any more than that, Hotspot would be a definite pickup regardless, because I just love that mold. But the price really dictates on whether or not I get these. And the Wheelie's a must-get, too. I can see that one going for about $30.
Yeah, 25 to 30. I'd definitely buy it for that. It's just such a, I never would have pictured RTS Jazz as Wheelie, but
yeah,
now that is, I see it works so well.
It is a weird use of that. And if I'm not mistaken, isn't that like the alternate head that they used for like Kickoff?
No.
For the BotCon?
No, it's a brand new head. It's Wheelie's head. It's a brand new head sculpt that, to our knowledge, is not on the original tooling. A lot of these new heads, like for Springer and Cliffjumper and Braun and Megatron, are not on the original tooling. They did them just for these Asian releases. It's weird.
Well, you know, that's another thing, too, is I've always told myself, you know, unless it's a Seeker, I really don't want to buy straight-up repaints and slight retools. I steer away from them. But this Reveal the Shield line, that Reveal the Shield line has two molds in it that I absolutely can't get enough of. One of them is the Trax mold, and the other one is the Jazz mold. The Jazz, I have the Reveal the Shield Jazz, and I also have the Kickoff from BotCon. I did not pick up the other one. What was it? Jackpot?
Treadshot.
Or Treadshot, rather.
He was
yeah.
in the box set.
He was in the box set, and just I couldn't afford the box set, and I'm not really in a hurry to track one down on the aftermarket. Maybe if I have a little bit more money in a couple years, in a year or so, rather, I may track him down. But I've got that mold a couple times here. I'm wanting to buy it a third. The Trax mold I already have in the as Wheeljack, as Trax. I have the Runamuck, and now I have, as listeners listened last week, I have the Shatterglass Trax. So, yeah, I'm a sucker for those two molds. And now here I'm getting the Jazz mold again once this comes out.
Well, plus you have your Stepper.
Oh, and yes, I have Stepper, yeah. Which should have came today, but it didn't. But
because he shipped to your old address and I had to wait for it to get forwarded.
Yeah, and yeah, I don't understand that. I had it deleted on the website and all that jazz. But anyway, next topic: Arms Micron Knockout and Breakdown.
Really wanting that knockout. I'm really wanting that knockout.
Well, Knockout is a really awesome figure, but Breakdown, that Breakdown looks so badass. I can't wait till that figure is released here stateside.
Well, they have all the added ports for the Microns and the Takara releases, and I'm not real sure how I feel about the one on Knockout, that big black box on his chest. It does kind of break up that flat chest, but at the same time, it's not very show accurate.
Yeah.
No.
It's a Knockout toy, so I want it.
Okay. I think he looks great, you know, in that I'm not a fan of the Takara shiny paint, you know, but Knockout's being, you know, in the show so vain about his paint job, I think it looks really, really good in that nice shiny red.
Now, the Arm Micron for Breakdown, does that look like a hammer to you?
Yes. It does. It plugs into his hand and becomes his hammer.
Yeah.
If you look at the
it's like it's plugged in where his fist would go. It's it makes his hammer. That's awesome. Is it a rhinoceros?
I can't tell what it's supposed to be.
I kind of see a little horn on the nose there. It might be a rhino, but I'm not sure.
You'll find some way to turn it into a llama.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be a rhinoceros.
I don't think you can make a rhino into a llama.
Well, how did you turn what was that, a bull into a llama?
Well, because it had very llama-shaped legs. It didn't look much like a bull.
It looks like a bulldog to me.
With a horn on his nose?
Which one? The
bulkhead micron.
Or breakdown's micron?
Or breakdown,
it looks like It looks like a bulldog to me, just looking at it. Oh, I didn't see the horn until now.
Yeah, I can. It took me a little bit to sort of make out the picture, but yeah, now I can definitely see the rhino head.
Yeah. Damn it, I was hoping it was a bulldog.
The other one is the Vehicon. I don't know about you guys, but the Vehicon's gun mode, the Micron's gun mode, that's badass. Screams badass about it.
It looks exactly like their guns do on the show, too.
What is its animal mode supposed to be? It's got a gun barrel for a face.
It's a walking gun?
Is that Snuffleupagus?
It's an anteater!
I don't know. You know what? I think this is the first time they've shown Starscream's Micron, too. That Voyager Starscream. Which looks very
eerily like a sound wave, yeah.
Did you notice how awfully mistransformed his chest is?
Yes.
It's spring break Starscream. He's undoing it.
He's trying to put his TCOG back into him.
Wow.
Somebody throw him some beads. Woo! Party!
Now, is that knockout actually going to be that shiny when it comes out, or is that going to be all sticker?
I'm sure it'll be all shiny, because Takara has something about shiny paint, it looks pretty awesome on a lot of figures, like the tracks.
Well, they haven't seen about shiny paint in the previous lines, but so far with Armor's Micron, it's been all about the stickers.
Yeah.
They've been using shiny stickers on everything.
Oh, really?
But you know what?
You get Ratchet, he's solid white, and then all the red is stickers.
Oh, wow.
I think that thing is just too overall shiny to be all stickers. That would be a sticker for every single red spot on him.
I'm still going to buy that knockout because it looks, no matter what, I'm going to get every knockout toy I can because I love knockout.
Do you think that they're doing the sticker thing to kind of deter foreign collectors from getting these figures?
No. The main thing they're doing it is because they said in an interview that Transformers has not been doing well in Japan until the movies. And since the movies did good, Transformers had more money to do. But now that the movies are over for a while, they're trying to figure out a way to make Transformers continue to sell well. And they're trying with these. They did like a test, and kids love model kits in Japan because Gunpla, which is Gundam model kits and all, is really big in Japan. So they added the stickers and Microns to make it more customizable for kids.
Right, they're trying to appeal to that Gundam market, so that's why you have to assemble the Microns yourself and then sticker everything.
Yes, yes.
So you get that sensation of, you know, having something to do with the assembly of the toy.
Yes.
And see, that totally doesn't appeal to me, because when I applied my stickers to my G1 reissues, I messed them up, and I wish I would have never applied them. Nothing to do with stickers.
I like the Tampo Graphs better. The Encore reissues, I love the fact that they tampoed on all the symbols.
Yeah.
So I didn't have to put stickers on. They look better.
That is nice. Anybody else have any further things about the Arms Microns?
Not about the Arms Microns, but I hope they reveal Voyager Breakdown sometime soon in America. Because that thing looks awesome.
They revealed the prototype at a Hasbro Asia convention, so there's good chance it's going to be coming over.
And it's got to come over soon. Like I said last podcast, I was so surprised they didn't show him at BotCon.
They're probably saving him for Comic-Con, like a whole bunch of other stuff. Like Grimlock, Voyager Grimlock, which is going to happen.
Moving on, Fall of Cybertron, we should have put this in after the Fall of Cybertron Dinobot trailer, but we've also seen Fall of Cybertron Bombshell, Hardshell.
He looks awesome.
Yeah, he does look
awesome.
Yes!
Go ahead.
Well, I mean, he's very reminiscent of Stormbomb.
The fans project.
Yeah, the fans project.
Very much, yeah.
Yeah, he's almost dead on for Stormbomb. Matter of fact, talk amongst yourselves and discuss this while I go pick up Storm Bomb over here off my shelf.
Well,
I'm going to do some comparisons here.
Well, I really like designs of insects because I've said before many times that I'm a Kamen Rider fan, so Insecticons are right up my alley.
You like insects?
Yes, insects.
Insects, not incest, insects.
Yes.
Although incest is insects too.
But, like, that design for Kickback that's getting a toy. I love the design of that because just how monstrous it looks. And I'm loving this bombshell.
Do you think they'll do us like they did the Dreads in Dark of the Moon? We'll only get
no.
one.
No, we better get toys of them. We better get toys
it's
of
like,
them.
It's like, we're going to have all three Insecticon designs in the game, but you're only going to get toys of one.
I hope not. I hope
or,
not.
Or
but
do
I
like the Wreckers. Only give us toys of two, you know, as far as on the same scale.
But you know what? They said they're going to... They've said their main focus for generations for the foreseeable future is Fall of Cybertron.
So we and better so get
the whole purpose of the Dark of the Moon line was Dark of the Moon toys, and we still didn't get all three records.
Yeah, but Dark of the Moon... Dark of the Moon was plagued by being... it's the third in a movie filled with Optimus Prime and Bumblebee, and they couldn't move... The other figures. Optimus Prime and Bumblebee pretty much killed that line.
Well, actually, what I've heard, it actually sold really well. It's just there's so much overstock afterwards that stores just can't get rid of it anymore.
I mean, it's still clogging up my Transformers aisle.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're Insane Galvantron and I are comparing the Hard Shell image and Fans Project Storm Bomb. And wow, the design cues are uncanny. I mean, granted, both the image and this toy are based on the original Bombshell, but wow, I mean, the Hard Shell's got the three-pronged sword-like.
Well, that was just a characteristic of the original Bombshell.
Yeah, but the original Bombshell didn't have like three, like a trident on the end of
it. It was a bit more like the Stag Beetles.
Yeah. But
they were more like
the recessed head with the shoulder the shoulder things. The design cues are uncanny on this.
It's I was surprised to see this design because up until now it had sort of seemed like Insecticons were just going to be drones, which they still more or less are. But it didn't seem like they were going to have robot modes, or at least characteristic robot modes, but I'm quite happy to see that that's not the case.
Yes. Because I was all prepared to go troop build that Kickbat, because I loved the way that toy turned out. But I'm glad to see we're getting actual Insecticons. Because I will go on record that insects are cooler than dinosaurs. The Insecticons are cooler than the Dinobots. Just saying. I'm dropping the hammer there.
I don't know. It's hard to disagree with you because I love Insecticons too, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't quite agree with that. I mean, I love the Insecticons, but Dinobots have way got those trump.
No. I'm sorry. I love my insect designs.
I'm going to fly back to Texas and beat you with a baseball bat.
Bring it on.
Bludgeon him with a Masterpiece Grimlock.
Yeah. One disappointment.
No, I'm
going
to get your bludgeon
here.
And take it to Texas and bludgeon him with it.
You got bludgeoned by bludgeon.
Get the Revenge of the Fallen and leave my G1 one alone.
I have a G1 bludgeon shell you can use.
Use his G1 bludgeon. Don't use mine.
Get bludgeoned by bludgeon.
Yeah, one disappointing thing about this is why so much gray and not black.
Yeah, it was a little bit off too.
But other than that, it's a really really good design, and I just love High Moon for how much they are good at sticking to keeping characters looking as iconic as they are.
Yeah.
Except for Swoop. Swoop still looks retarded.
Well, and Optimus. Optimus looks retarded.
Not as bad as Swoop.
I'm going to have to look up Swoop again to see how bad he is, because I don't remember.
Optimus is Fatimus Prime 2.0.
Nice.
Yeah. Now, the we got two more topics here. One of them I don't have on the outline here, but the one that I do, the Tokyo Toy Show exclusive Crystal Optimus Prime Prime from I guess it's the first edition.
It's
the
first
mold.
Edition, yeah.
Yeah, it's the first edition mold.
It's a translucent crystal version of that mold, and also a United Henke Convoy Black Convoy.
Yes,
I have got that pre-ordered. Captured Prey has them on pre-order for $98 a piece.
I want that Black Convoy because of the history behind it. Because it originally was going to be a Wonderfest exclusive, it got canceled. Then a knockoff of it came out, and now it's finally coming out. So, just because of the history of the toy, I'm probably might end up picking it up at next.
I want it regardless, but I really hope, for all intents and purposes, it has an upside down G2 and Decepticon insignia, or I'm sorry, upside down G2 Autobot insignia on it, rather.
So yeah, they definitely got
it. Yeah, I want it to be Black Convoy because that's what it's supposed to be, and I want it, you know, Scourge. I had Scourge. I want a Black Convoy now. And those colors just really work on that mold for some reason. I don't know why, but, I mean, it looks more like Motormaster. I mean, if it had more of a purple windshield then it and a remolded head.
If I bought it, I would have to paint the windshield purple. Or go over it with a transparent blue because it's already red. That would make it purple.
And our last, you guys have any other thoughts on the Henke Convoy, Black Convoy?
Aside from that Black Convoy is freaking sweet looking, I really like that Crystal First Edition Prime. I don't know, something about Crystal Optimus Primes, it's just like Black Optimus Primes, you expect it, and they're kind of cool, and... I
have a fear, though, that if I, as much as I love Crystal figures, years down the road, I'm afraid that they will be
brittle.
Brittle, yeah.
Yeah, that's the one fear I had too. But either way, it's a cool figure.
I mean, I had the Crystal Hot Rod up until a few months ago, and I was afraid to transform it because it even felt brittle then. I mean, it was brand new.
That Hot Rod toy is brittle as it is.
Yeah, but I mean, it was gorgeous. Don't get me wrong, but I just felt like it was too brittle. Insane Galvatron showed me a picture here on his tablet. I don't have a link to it, but there is a third-party broadside, G1 broadside.
Yes.
What?
Yes, a third-party G1 broadside.
I can't link him from here. Guard
Convoy, can you find that real quick?
I can find it real quick, but I'm just going to talk about it a little bit. It's by Fans Project. It was a design that's been around since, I want to say, 2009 when they showed it off at TFCon with a whole bunch of other designs, and that's finally coming out, it seems.
And
now,
board member here's, Vista, who is, I guess, knows Fans Project's people personally, made here's the comment that even though this is the first we've really seen anything of this, it's relatively close to release. This and Heartmaster should be coming out around the same time.
Yeah, they just talked about it. It was teased. It was back in 2008. Yeah, we've seen this design a long time ago, and now we're finally getting to see more about it.
You know what? The tiny head and giant body just works.
Well, yeah. It gives him the illusion of being very large, which an aircraft carrier should be.
Yeah. Yes,
I really do like this design.
I'm going to pick this up.
Yeah, if it's Fans Project, I want it. I'm a huge fan of the work they do, and I'm really going to be getting.
Well, I mean, I'm holding a Fans Project toy in my hand right now, the Storm Bomb, and their quality is fantastic. I love what they do, and yeah, I'm sold on what they've got, and I will be picking that up as well.
The only thing that would make this broadside better, in my opinion, were little tiny mini con jets that turn into bombs. That way in carrier mode, you can put them on the deck, and then when he turns to jet mode, you can clip them under the wings.
Maybe there would be some awesome third-party company that would design something like that for them.
Yeah, I bet
that would be a good idea. I just want a third-party.
Would that be fourth-party if it's an
Yeah, it would be a fourth-party product, yeah.
Or ninth-party if you do 3x3.
Well, they've already had third-party products for the protector armor.
Yeah, but do we call those the, call that city fourth party, armor. Or do we call it ninth party? Third party for third party, 3x3 is 9.
How many parties are there? Isn't somebody getting drunk at one of these? You know,
I don't know.
There's there's a party in my drunk pants.
The third party parties at BotCon we're getting.
Speaking of third party, you guys saw the Night Morph of Cyclops, didn't you?
Yes.
I got to handle it. That thing is gorgeous.
It is gorgeous and enormous.
And hefty, and I want it so badly. It's so good.
I love the Hearts of Steel designs. Those were just when they first announced Generations line and they said they were going to cover multiple aspects of Transformers history, I was like, please, please, please do Hearts of Steel, and all they did was G1.
Yeah. Well, I'm still waiting for Impactor and Emerald Zeron, but those are
now. Air Screech looked really awesome too, but I'm so impressed with the Cyclops. Yeah, $150 for that thing though.
It's a
I'd pay $150 bucks for that.
If it turned into a space gun,
seeing how large it is in person.
What did he do?
He said seeing how large it was in person, I started giggling.
Yeah. But seeing how large Cyclops is in person, it is going to be worth $150.
Yes.
It's very worth it.
And you know what? And I'm a big fan of those Ironclads from, you know, the Civil War. I did a report on them in high school. I just thought they were awesome. And that he turns into what looks a lot like the Merrimack. That's just even cooler. To me.
Absolutely. We are now entering the Transformers Prime episode discussion area. If you haven't seen the latest episode, then be forewarned that you may be spoiled by listening further. Well, let's move on to our final segment of the night. Transformers Prime discussion, the episode triage. We kind of watched it right before we began recording, just to kind of get a refresher on it.
So we pick up once again in this hunt for relics. This time Ratchet is going off with Wheeljack, called in as backup, to find a relic. And on their way there, and they get engaged by Soundwave, and this is the first episode where they actually refer to Soundwave's drone as Laserbeak. And he deploys Laserbeak. There's a fight in the air. They're in Wheeljack's ship, and they crash. And then the episode sort of takes a turn where it becomes less about the relic and more about Ratchet finding a way to use Laserbeak, who was shot down in the process, to get back and steal the rest of the Iacon database. And so while Ratchet is tampering with Laserbeak, Wheeljack goes off to buy Ratchet some time and to distract Soundwave by trying to hunt the relic down. And we can see a really awesome fight scene against Soundwave and Wheeljack, which we'll get to talking to, I'm sure, in a few minutes. But eventually, it ends up that Ratchet and, with the help of Raphael implant a virus into Laserbeak, which infects Soundwave, which infects the ship, and sends back the Icon database. And that's where the episode ends, more or less.
Well, then you got the... where all these episodes are happening at the same time.
Yeah.
We get to see the ending, which I would have thought would have been at the end of next week's episode, where we see Bulkhead come through the...
Yeah, he comes through the...
smoking hole in his back. Yeah.
So that's a basic synopsis of what happened in the episode.
Well, reactions? Anybody? Guard Convoy, you want to give a reaction?
It was a really good episode. Like, the banter between... the character building between Wheeljack and Ratchet was my favorite part, how they gained a mutual respect for each other by the end, but overall it was a strong episode. Soundwave as a character still continues to be fantastic. Overall it was a good show. Just the subtle movements he does, it just oozes character.
And it's amazing how much character you can get from a completely silent character. And then on the Autobot side, it feels like Bumblebee is always lacking a certain amount of character. And Soundwave is just... He just keeps proving how he is a surprisingly, you know, formidable enemy.
Yes. And to mention one thing,
the
craft continue...
Or the faceplate. I mean, did anybody else think it was going to break off? We were going to see what was behind it?
I thought I was going to see the most terrifying thing you've ever seen in your life.
G1 Soundwave's face.
That would be so lame. That would piss me
off.
That
would be awesome.
That'd be so anticlimactic.
After the guard convoy, that would not work.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd want to see G1 Soundwave. I'd want to see like something like a skeletal looking for a robot face. Almost kind of scary.
Yeah, once Soundwave
kind of like you
finally...
could imagine the bone structure underneath you ripped off the flesh.
No, a giant smiley face.
No, it's a flat out yellow giant smiley face just smiling at you. But when he finally speaks, it has to be the most demented, demonic voice you've ever heard that sends chills on your spine. Because if they give him the G1 voice, I'm killing someone because that's bullshit.
I actually would rather have the G1 voice when he speaks.
No, that's bullshit.
Whenever he does speak, he has kind of like that digitized flange.
Well, I mean, he could have a digitized voice, but there's something about Soundwave that is just so... There's something twisted behind the silent character, and I just think if he started talking with just a G1 sounding voice, it would sort of kill that kind of almost creepiness he has going on.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the Soundwave in Prime. It's just, I wished he talked. It's kind of like the Bumblebee. I'm getting sick of the beeps and boops and everything. I really wish we could hear some sound out of his voice, but
you know what? I think it works so well with Soundwave, where it doesn't so much with Bumblebee.
Well, it has to do with the writing. I mean, I think Bumblebee got some pretty good characterization and emotiveness in the two-parter that was specifically about him.
Yeah.
It's just I don't think they've been giving that much attention because they don't need to. It's like, hey, he's Bumblebee. All the kids know who he is from the movies, so he's just going to be in the background beeping. And they haven't tried to make him likable.
The way I see Soundwave, he is so effective as a silent character that when you see him on screen, you know something's going to happen. When he subtly moves, like, you'll have some character talking in the Decepticon ship, and he'll just turn around and glare at the character talking, and just like, you know something's happening, and just like, it's so dramatic.
It's like you know, if he wanted to, he could go over there and, you know, rip their spark chamber out like Bulkhead did to that Viacon.
Yeah.
It's just, of course, and then Soundwave just has a thing for tentacles, doesn't he?
He's into hentai.
You know what would happen if
his nipples of doom.
If you break his glass and it shatters, it's just a Legion tongue behind there.
Yes!
There we go.
That's just wrong.
Soundwave
wants to probe
that,
places.
That's what his voice sounds like. That's all we hear when he speaks is la, 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 with a phallic tongue hanging out.
It's like a smiley face with a phallic tongue. Just around.
Photoshop contest. The best rendition of what you think a version of Soundwave from Transformers Prime would look like without his faceplate. If you can Photoshop or come up with a good idea of it on geekexistence.com, go to our forums, into the Transformers forum, post it in there, and we'll see what people can come up with. And who knows, we might even have a little prize for the winner. No guarantee there, since we're still kind of new, but yeah. Let's see what people can come up with. Check that out. Also in the show, any thoughts on the interaction between Wheeljack and Ratchet? The camaraderie or the... I got the distinct impression that Wheeljack, over the course of the episode, gained some sort of respect for Ratchet and vice versa.
Yes.
Did you guys kind of pick up on that? Go ahead, Guard Convoy.
Yeah, that was one of the favorite parts of my episodes, just how that first they had that tension in the air, and by the end they had gained a mutual respect for each other. It worked perfectly.
Kept calling him Doc. I thought Buster Jones was in the episode.
Exactly.
Yeah, I liked and that whole the whole interaction between those two. I mean, Ratchet is such a strong character.
Jeffrey Combs.
Yeah, he's just and seeing Wheeljack sort of, you know, Wheeljack wasn't sure about, you know, Wheeljack's solution was stick a grenade on Laserbeak and, you know, blow him up. And he, when Ratchet first posed the idea of, you know, using the virus instead to gain more access to the Icon database, Wheeljack thought it was, you know, it wasn't the soundest idea. He would much rather take a few out than, you know, worry about the Icon database. But by the end, you kind of get the feeling that Wheeljack definitely started to see Ratchet has a good grasp on the better strategy. You know, he sort of gains that respect for Ratchet's ability to call the situation.
Well, I think that their initial doubt in the plan was because he's not really been at the base, so he kind of really doesn't know or care what's going on there. So the whole idea of downloading this database means nothing to him at first.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't think of it like that either.
Do you think we'll ever see him come to the base and be involved in every episode, or is he going to be just a show-up-every-once-in-a-while guy like he has been?
Probably a show-up-every-once-in-a-while. Go ahead.
I was just saying, I was agreeing. I think he'd just be showing up every once in a while for once, or here and there.
But he was in the Hall of Fame. He should be a star.
He will now, from now on.
He's the only... Well, no, he's not the only... I mean... He's made it this... I mean, at least he's come back several times, because when he first flew away back into space, you thought, well... Oh, that's great. He's never going to come back.
Insane Galvatron over here doing perverted things with my Voyager Starscream. It's being distracting. Of
course. Well, you know, after you saw the pictures online of how the car had it mistransformed, it looked like he was opening a woman opening a bra. I split the chest open and had his hands reaver like he was pulling them open, like to show you what was underneath.
But he has nothing, so it's like he had a mastectomy or something. But
it's like, look, this is all padding.
Now the idea that Ratchet had that he kind of got the idea from Wheeljack to implant the virus into Laserbeak. Any thoughts on that?
Raph's super hacking ability strikes again.
I hated that. That's the only moment. It's like Ratchet is this super smart scientist guy. He's like, I can't do it alone.
It's like, you mean to tell me he can't do this by himself? It was just like a plot device just to get Raph involved.
Yeah, just to get Raph in the episode.
Look, I'm helping!
I can do it. I have courage. Raph
well,
is
I
like
guess
because
the other
Courage,
Raph
yeah.
is the Chip Chase of Transformers Prime.
And Raph, you know, is Bob two, the Builder.
The other two were in the episode, you know, when with RC and Bumblebee. So I guess he had to have his episode where he sort of spotlighted. But it was just a lame shoehorn. He wasn't needed.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
Now I like the eventual outcome that, you know, that they got the virus planted like in the nick of time. But I pointed it out to Insane Galvatron, my dirty mind, whenever Ratchet was holding down Laserbeak and Soundwave was very quickly approaching.
Laserbeak struggling.
It looked like Ratchet was barebacking Laserbeak there.
Oh my god.
Yeah, but just the right camera angle, that one scene, the way he was holding on the wings, it was all flopping, it was causing Ratchet to kind of shake. It looked like he's behind him just pumping away.
Yeah. and somebody walked in on him because he looked up and he's here comes Soundwave. It's like,
oh no, I gotta hurry, Soundwave's almost here.
Yeah.
It's almost like a guy that's with another man's wife. Hurry, I heard your husband pull in the driveway.
So,
gonna hurry and finish.
But yeah,
did you guys love Knockout in this episode?
Oh yeah,
his short little stint there at the end was brilliant.
Did you see what they did to me?
And Megatron's all like, "I don't care."
And they're running down the hall with juggling that grenade.
And it's like, hilarious. You know, look how messed up you are, but I don't care about that. Fix Soundwave's visor.
Mm-hmm. Soundwave is more important.
Soundwave's
well,
one little crack
inspect
is more important than all your stuff. Well, but then at the end, the very last scene was he said, while you're at it, fix his visor.
Yeah.
And it's like he's still sitting there all scratched up from head to toe, but Soundwave's one little piece is more important than his whole body.
And the look on Knockout's face, it kind of made me wonder, you know,
is
there...
Effect, become an Autobot? He is already a car, after all.
Yeah. Will Knockout be a defector?
Or
he's too vain.
I think if he were going to defect...
Well, Trax was vain.
Well, I think if he were going to defect, though, I don't think he would go to the Autobots. I think he would feel unappreciated and, you know, not and more valuable than he's getting credit for. I think he would fit right in with Starscream.
Yeah, I could see
if
him defecting
defect,
the Starscream.
Go join
more than...
Starscream.
Yeah. Hmm. Interesting.
And he's a doctor. Starscream needs somebody to install his TCOG.
Yeah, that's very true.
Uh-oh, maybe we just spoiled something unintentionally.
Well, we don't know it's spoiler for the time being, so. Well, unless anybody has anything further to talk about the episode, any other last-minute comments about Transformers Prime Triage?
I can't wait till next week to see what happens to Bulkhead.
Yeah, that was kind of what we alluded to earlier when you gave the synopsis, was at the end, you know, that's kind of the scene I didn't expect to see till the end of next episode, was everybody arriving back at their respective bases after their missions. And I was like, wait a minute, there's still one more. And so then Bulkhead shows up with a hole in his back, and I guess we'll have to flashback it for the last one. Yeah. Instead of just airing all four, having the ending at the end, they had the ending after the third one, then flashback the fourth one.
Mm.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely a device to build suspense, because, I mean, this is the last relic.
And Bulkhead has a hole in his back, and he's not moving. There's smoke coming out. Who's going to wonder how he got through the ground bridge?
Well, he had the hole in his back, so I'm assuming that just as he went through the ground bridge, he got shot in the back. Yeah.
Yeah, because I couldn't see, you know, the Insecticon damaging him that badly and throwing him through the ground bridge.
And they had to throw a wrench into the success, you know, into Ratchet's successful, you know, heist of the Icon database.
Well, I have noticed that with so far three relics, you know, one to each team. The Autobots got one, the Decepticons got one, and Starscream got one. So who gets the fourth one?
Yeah.
Wait till next week to find out.
Arachnid.
Mm.
She's in stasis.
Yeah, she's in stasis right now, but you never know.
The Autobots will get it, but then she'll break free and steal it.
Yeah.
Probably not, but you know, you never know what might happen.
I just don't see that happening. Well, I believe that'll wrap it up for this week's edition of TFYLP. We hope you've enjoyed this week's episode. Special thanks to Guard Convoy, Sideburn 2, and Insane Galvatron. Thank you guys for joining us, and we hope to see you back next week.
Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye. See you next week. Well, I won't be here next week, but bye-bye.
We'll see you guys next week.
TFYLP is brought to you by GeekExistence.com. The theme song, Till All Are One, by Stan Bush, available on iTunes. This podcast is for entertainment and informational purposes only and is not for profit. Any names, images, or music used within this podcast are copyright their respective owners and is not intended to infringe on said copyright. Thanks for listening.
Just had to open my beer. Because I'm a redneck.
Relieve my bladder and filled up the cup to fill the bladder back up again. No one's here. That's going to be a little surprise for you when you listen to the recording.